If you could choose a role model for your life and work, who would it be? That's a popular question in job interviews, and we're going to share our best answer from the Bible. Hi, I'm Rob West. God's Word is full of kings, prophets, and warriors who might fit the definition of role model. But today we'll consider someone more ordinary, whose reputation still stands the test of time. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, when it comes to work ethic, there's nobody we like better, aside from Jesus, of course, than the woman described in Proverbs 31. We don't know her name, but her actions and attitudes are worth studying and imitating, no matter what kind of work you do. First, a note about Proverbs. It's part of the wisdom literature found in the Old Testament. We refer to Proverbs a lot since there are many nuggets of financial truth there. Proverbs 31 is the final chapter, and the description of the woman of noble character is written as a poem, with each line beginning with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Proverbs 31:10 introduces the woman of noble character, who is worth more than rubies, because she sets the standard for trustworthiness and generosity towards her husband and all those around her. She's also a top-notch businesswoman. Here are some of the characteristics that make the Proverbs 31 woman such a great example of a biblical work ethic. First, she works with eager hands. She has a positive attitude towards work, knowing that diligence can produce many benefits. Next, verse 15 tells us she gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family. The Bible makes it clear that providing for your family is a primary responsibility. She takes it very seriously. The Proverbs 31 woman is also a careful entrepreneur. In verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. So part of the biblical work ethic involves expertise, gaining useful skills and using them for the benefit of your family and community. In verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Living and working well requires persistence and determination. You don't reach your goals just sitting around watching YouTube. Proverbs 31 also offers us a picture of generosity in verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor. The woman of character is so successful in her work that she is able to be generous with her surplus. Are you working just for yourself or so you can help others also? Next, she speaks with wisdom in verse 26. A person of noble character uses their experience and authority to teach others. To put it another way, this woman's work ethic is the water that raises all boats because everyone benefits from her industry. It comes as no surprise in verse 27 that she does not eat the bread of idleness. It's pretty clear that a biblical work ethic means not being lazy. Well, that's an impossibly impressive resume, but I think the most important quality of the woman of noble character is that she follows and honors the Lord. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She serves God first, and all her success springs from this priority. You know, you might look at this biblical portrait of a godly worker and wonder how she does it all. She's running a farm, marketing her products, teaching, mentoring, and taking care of a household at the same time. I think we have to understand that this is a portrait of virtue at work, not a blueprint for what you have to do next week. Another point I'd like to make here is about rest. It might not look like the Proverbs 31 woman got much of that, but her success points to the fact that she did know when to go and when to stop. God does call us to work for His kingdom, for our families, and for the community, with the same commitment we see in the Proverbs 31 woman. We work to pay the bills, to give, to save, and to invest as she did. It's part of how God made us, but work isn't all there is. We need to rest sometimes, too. Perhaps you find things moving too fast in your life. Working late nights and weekends might seem necessary, but burning the candle at both ends is ultimately unproductive. You'll find that exhaustion leaves you no energy for the most important things, time with the Lord and relationships with others. You don't have to go full throttle all the time, but if you are feeling overwhelmed, be comforted by the words of Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We can learn a lot from the Proverbs 31 woman about what it means to live with personal and financial integrity, and I encourage you to read it today. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What did Jesus do on the Wednesday of his last week before the cross? Scholars debate it, but nobody really knows. But we do know that Jesus was speaking that week about the end of the world. And what he says in Matthew 24:14 is especially important. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And yes, there would be dark days, not only for Jesus that week, but throughout the lives of his disciples and all followers since. But Jesus has promised that his gospel will reach all nations, a promise continuing to be fulfilled to this day. Try out Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thank you for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got lines open and we're ready for you today. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Those lines will fill, but we want to make sure that you get in the queue now so we can get your question on the air. Paul David Tripp says this about money. He says, money is one of God's good creations, but this good thing becomes a bad thing for you when it becomes a ruling thing. Think about that. You know, when money takes a place that it was never intended to play in terms of competing with first position in our lives for our devotion, well, it was taken out of God's original context at that point. And our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Well, here on this program every day, we want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so whether those are related to your lifestyle, maybe it's your giving and giving more wisely, maybe it's your debt repayment and how you can become debt-free over your lifetime and even tackle perhaps some credit card debt that's gotten out of control in light of high inflation, or maybe it's your investments, whatever it might be today. Let's talk about it. The number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we head to the phones today, in the news, an often overlooked retirement savings option that can lower your tax bill. That's what we're all looking for right about this time of year. It's the spousal IRA, and it's a separate Roth or traditional IRA for a non-working spouse. It's just simply often overlooked. Married couples who file jointly have until the federal tax deadline, that is April 15th for most taxpayers, to make that 2023 IRA contribution for each spouse. Now, if you've already filed before the deadline, you would have to amend that return. So it's usually easier if you'd use April 15th or the day you actually file as your deadline for this. Now, a traditional pre-tax spousal IRA contribution can provide that 2023 tax break depending on your income and your workplace retirement plan participation. The limit is the same for the spousal IRA. So that would be $6,500 for 2023, $7,500 if you're 50 or older. That increases, of course, to $7,000 and $8,000 respectively for 2024. But in this case, we're talking about that 2023 contribution. And just to make sure you're clear, I am referring to a 2023 contribution, which can still be done until you file that 2023 return. These accounts, of course, provide that current year tax break and boost your retirement savings for a non-earning spouse, which is a great opportunity to get a little bit more working for you. As of 2021, some 18% of parents didn't work outside of the home, and most stay-at-home parents had not funded one of these IRAs. So with income phase outs for IRA deductibility and Roth IRA contributions, many wait until March or April to make those prior year IRA deposits. So if that's you, don't miss that opportunity. It's right here before us as we head toward the tax filing deadline. You know, as we think about retirement, let me also encourage you to do some retirement planning. This is not just the mindless accumulation of wealth that we're promoting here. We want to have a plan. We want to be prayed through on that plan. We want to think about our values and our priorities, establish a realistic goal for what we would have to accumulate between now and retirement so that in that season, no matter what God directs us to, whether it includes pay or not, that we're able to fund that God-honoring lifestyle. And having something saved beyond Social Security is a key way to do that. So hopefully that's helpful to you today. All right, we're going to head to the phones here. We've got two lines open. The calls are coming in. Call right now at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's begin in Texas today. Katha, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, Rob, thank you for taking my call. My daughter recently was in an accident which resulted in a lawsuit in which she is going to be granted $250,000. She is 50 years old. She has no savings plan. And she is at a quandary. She's supposed to meet with the lawyers next week. And she's been told they're going to instruct her to take this money in the form of an annuity, which we know nothing about. So how would you instruct her to go forward?
Yeah. Well, there's potentially a lot of commissions to be paid out on that annuity, so you need to really make sure you're seeking counsel from somebody who has no vested interest in this. You know, I think the opportunity here is to obviously, you know, have this money managed wisely. An annuity certainly is one option where there would be either a guaranteed fixed rate of return on it or a variable rate of return, depending on the underlying performance of the investment. So those are kind of the two paths for annuities. And then it would grow either on a fixed basis or a variable basis. And then at some point down the road, perhaps, you know, in retirement, she could convert that into an income stream for her life or her life plus a spouse, let's say. And the benefit there is it takes away any downside risk. The thing that I would consider here, perhaps more so than eliminating downside risk, is just the fact that she's young. And so she's got time on her side, you know, even at age 50, where she would be able to let this grow for a considerable period of time and have the potential to have more earning power outside of an insurance product, because in exchange for that downside protection, she's going to give up some of the upside potential. Now, with that, she's going to assume the risk that comes with it. So, for instance, as an alternative to an annuity, she could hire an advisor who would understand her goals and objectives, what, you know, God is doing in her life, what her values are, you know, what her needs are now and in the future, and then together establish kind of an investment philosophy, and then actually be the one, the advisor, to make the investment decisions with, of course, her, you know, clear oversight and communication. And then, you know, she would get the full upside of any growth. The other benefit to that is she'd have full access to the money if she ever needed it. Whereas inside that annuity product, there are going to be some restrictions and perhaps even some penalties if she wants to get to it early. So I think as an alternative, my preference here would be for her to, you know, interview two or three advisors, you know, find the one that's the good fit, get that money out in a lump sum, not put it in an insurance product, have it managed and invested, but, you know, not have some of the limitations and extra fees and constraints that come with an insurance product. Does that make sense?
It does. And I do have a question. Do you have a number of where she could find a trustworthy advisor?
I do. Yeah, it's not a phone number. I direct you to our website. So here's what we recommend, Katha. We don't have in our ministry any advisors that work for us. But what we recommend is the only industry designation in the financial services industry that has to do with biblically wise financial advice. It's called the CKA designation, Certified Kingdom Advisor. So there's 1,500 of these men and women across the U.S. and Canada. They've met character requirements, statement of faith, experience requirements. They've been trained to bring a biblical worldview, pastor and client references, and then an annual continuing education and recertification process. I would have her go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, and she can do a zip code search. I'd interview two or three before she makes a decision. Faithfi.com and click Find a Professional. God bless you. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Do you remember those words of Jesus? He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart follows our money. That's right. Our heart is really anchored to where we place God's treasure, the resources that have been entrusted to us, which just simply says every spending decision is a spiritual decision. And we need to look at not just the symptom, the outward expression of how we handle God's money, but the underlying values and priorities that really inform those spending decisions. And when we think through that, what's important to us? Where is God taking us, and how can money be a tool to accomplish all of that? Well, I feel like that's when we put ourselves in a position to really use this incredible tool we have called money in a way that's God-honoring. We want to help you do that on this program every day in light of your practical questions in your financial life. So call right now, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Let's head to Texas. Dan, you will be next up, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got some questions for you. We're selling our home plus two properties, 27 acres. We're selling it at $400,000. We're looking at possibly $340,000 as capital gain. And 5 acres, we're selling at $92,000. We're looking at maybe $81,000 as capital gain. And we wanted to know, how do we save on that? Can we do anything to affect the capital gain, or just help us out, please?
Yeah, sure. So let me just make sure I understand. These are parcels of land that you're not living on. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you have a very low cost basis. Is that also true, meaning that you bought them a long time ago?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And so you think your gain is going to be somewhere around how much for the 27 acres, the profit on it?
Profit is
$340,000.
Okay. So you think that perhaps your cost basis, your original purchase price, was down around $60,000, if my math is correct. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We bought it for $2,000 and they're selling for $15,000 or something like that.
Per acre. Yeah, makes sense. All right. The only way to, first question is, you know, are you going to have any capital gains? And that has to do with your adjusted gross income. And so are you selling these properties this year, 2024?
Yeah, hopefully, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's say you did. Yeah. Is your income, let me ask, are you married filing jointly?
Yes.
Okay. And is your adjusted gross income somewhere between $94,000 and $580,000, or is it below $94,000?
Below 90.
Okay. So, and you'd always want to check with your CPA just to make sure that everything, you know, is in fact accurate for your situation. But just so you understand, if this is a long-term capital gain, meaning you've held this for more than a year, and you're married filing jointly, the capital gains rate is 0%, nothing, until you get above $94,000 in income, in adjusted gross income. So if your income is between $0 and $94,000 for 2024, your capital gains rate will be 0.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Okay.
Does that include the price of the money we make from selling the land?
That's completely separate. That's a capital gain. That's not income. Oh. And so the capital gains rate, and it's a little confusing because we're talking about two different things. The capital gain is the profit you made on the asset sale. That's the property. The capital gains rate is determined by your adjusted gross income, which does not factor in capital gains. So now, again, always a good idea, based on your specific situation, to check with a CPA, especially in a year like this one where you're going to have something unusual happening. But so long as your income is below $94,000, married filing jointly for 2024, you're not going to have any capital gain, which would mean, if that's the case, then you could take 100% of these proceeds and do whatever you want with it because you don't have any tax, right? You could give a portion of it. You could, you know, plow it into another property. You could, you know, take it and boost your savings, pay down debt, anything like that. What do you all think you're going to do next with this money? Are you wanting to continue to invest in real estate, or do you have some other thoughts?
Well, we live in Texas. We're going to buy a home in West Virginia, someplace close to my daughter.
Oh, great.
And so we're in the process of doing that now.
Excellent. And we're not sure what we're going to do with the excess money.
Okay. Good. Well, a couple of thoughts. One is make sure you have a fully funded emergency fund. That's 3 to 6 months expenses and liquid savings. I'd use an online savings account for that. You can get some good interest on it. I'd think about what the Lord might be leading you to do in the way of giving. This is clearly an increase. The increase on this, which is often how we think about our giving, at least as a starting point, is equal to what would have been your capital gain. Because it's the profit and that's your increase that the Lord has provided. So you could give off of that. You could invest it. And if you're looking for an advisor to help you invest it, you could go to our website and find a certified kingdom advisor at faithfi.com. But hopefully that's helpful to you, Daniel, and some good news to you and your wife. And we appreciate you calling today. Please call anytime if you have other questions today. We'd be delighted to help you. Thanks for so much for being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. In the next segment, we're going to be headed, well, we'll stay in Texas and talk to Chuck. I want to, Chuck, make sure you have enough time to get your question and answer, and we're up against a break. So you hold right there. You will be first up just around the corner. We do have lines open and still two more segments today, and so we'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. Let me also take this opportunity just to say, as we head toward the end of the month, and hard to believe we're already headed into spring here as April's right around the corner, this is a great time for you to consider prayerfully a gift to FaithFi. We're a listener-supported ministry. We're a little behind this month on listener support, and so if you found some benefit in this program, it's been an encouragement to you, you'd like to support our work as a monthly partner or with a one-time gift, it's quick and easy to do at faithfi.com. Just click Give. You can give over the internet, over the phone, or through the mail, faithfi.com. Just click Give, and this week would be a real blessing. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Today's Issues is American Family Radio's flagship program featuring AFA President Tim Wildman.
They're going to deny this till the Lord comes back.
Right. And others, staff and friends of the American Family Association.
Did they leak this? Was it intentional? Was it an accident? We want more answers.
It's a part of history. You know, we need to know.
Today's Issues, with the help of American Family News, making sense of the issues of the day. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor?
Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Lines are just about full. We've got one open, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Chuck, you've been waiting patiently, sir. How can I help?
Yep. I was looking to move some money out of a regular annuity into a like a donor advisory fund. Do you have one of those funds that you recommend?
I do, but you are not able to fund a donor advised fund with an annuity. So you can fund a donor advised fund with cash, with various assets, but not with retirement plans or annuities. So you would have to, in this case, to fund a donor advised fund. And let me just make sure I'm clear here. You're looking at a donor advised fund. You're not talking about a charitable gift annuity, correct?
Yeah. In other words, these annuities have gone their full distance, and now I can take the money out.
Okay.
And whatever I want to with it.
Got it. Yes. So you would just have to pull it out, and then any tax consequences from you taking it out, you know, whether you have taxes on the, if it was put in pre-tax or if you have some gains in there, all that would be taxable. And then, as you said, now that it's outside of the annuity, you can do whatever you want with it. And then you could absolutely fund a donor advised fund at that point. You just can't roll it from the annuity into the donor advised fund and try to preserve some tax deferral status. Is that clear?
Okay. That well, my CPA says I can, but anyway.
He's saying you can roll the annuity into the donor advised fund to save taxes?
As long as I don't ever take it possession of the money.
Yeah. The problem is, to my knowledge, you can't fund a donor advised fund with an annuity. I mean, I'll triple check that, but I'm almost certain that that is unacceptable. So we'll get you make sure we just double check that, just given that it sounds like you're getting conflicting advice. But based on the answer to that, obviously, you know, whether you have to pull it out first and then recognize any taxable event that would occur as a result of you pulling the money out of the annuity. I do love donor advised funds because then as that money goes in, you would get that charitable contribution for the full amount that you put into the donor advised fund. That could then be deducted so long as you itemize, and often making a large contribution will, of course, get you up above the standard deduction. So you get the full tax benefit in a single year. And then from that point, you would decide how you want to distribute the money from the donor advised fund. Essentially, you're turning it over to the donor advised fund sponsor, and then you make recommendations, and then they grant the money out based on those recommendations that originate with you, the donor. In terms of which donor advised fund sponsor to use, we often recommend the National Christian Foundation at ncfgiving.com. It was started by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue and an attorney named Terry Parker, a wonderful man. And, you know, they're one of the largest Christian ministries in the world. They don't develop their own giving strategies. They're just a giving vehicle for believers like you. And so using one of their giving funds, which is just their name for a donor advised fund, could be a great tool for you.
Okay. You said that's ncfgiving.com.
Yes, sir. NCF stands for National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I'll check into them and see what we can do with the money.
Yeah, very good. If you find something else out, let me know. But I'm fairly confident you're not going to be able to roll that in and avoid any taxes. You just simply can't fund donor advised funds with annuities and retirement plans. Hey, God bless you, Chuck. I love the fact that you're looking to be generous with this money. Call anytime. Let's go to, Kansas. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I'm kind of following this back to my first time call, a long time listener, but you had a client, individual called just a bit ago about a dual income husband and wife, and I'm calling about an individual widowed lady that, and I do have authority to talk with her. We're meeting with her accountant here in a couple of days, but I wanted to get your thoughts, have a little knowledge going into it. She sold her property, a small farm, and she has not actually, her income been so low all these years. She's not actually paid any taxes over the past 10, 11 years. Mm-hmm. And is she going to have a big tax liability on selling this property?
Well, again, you know, the capital gains rate. So as long as this is a long-term capital gain, which the definition of that is a property held more than a year that is then sold, the capital gains rate on whatever gain she has on that property is either based on, you know, either last year or this year, 0%, 15% or 20%. It's going to be one of those three. And the way that you determine whether your capital gains rate is 0, 15, or 20 has to do with your taxable income. And that long-term gain does not factor into the taxable income. So if her taxable income as a single filer is less than for 2024, tax year 2024, if it's less than $47,025 as a single filer, again, taxable income, not the gain itself, then her capital gains rate is 0%. So there is no capital gains tax if her taxable income is less than $47,025 as a single filer in the year 2024. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I was wanting that'll ease her mind a bit. And I want someone else's opinion before we talk to her accountant.
Okay, very good. Always a good idea to get with the accountants. I highly value the work that they do. But yeah, generally speaking, that's the way this works. Grateful that you're walking alongside her in this, Jim, and thanks for your call today. Let's go to Georgia. Hi, Wayne. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. My question is with regards to a solar roofing system. So just on the quick here, we have our home is paid for. Our insurance company essentially said we need a new roof due to wind damage, and we would like to incorporate a solar roofing system when we install the new roof. That's not a separate tiles. Those are roof systems so that we would qualify for the 30% tax credit. My question is the 35 to 40% offset on the solar roof worth it as a return on investment for our home?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the downsides of solar energy are, of course, the cost of adding the solar, which depends on your sunlight, your space constraints, You know, the storage of it is expensive. You know, they last 25 to 30 years, but, you know, they're very expensive. There's high upfront costs, and it's, of course, you know, sunlight dependent. So there are some great tools out there that could help you determine, you know, whether it makes sense in your situation. One of those is just a real simple tool. I wouldn't make your decision on it, but it's just a great free resource. Is called Google Sunroof, Project Sunroof. If you just go to, if you just type into a search engine, Project Sunroof, you'll be able to put in the address and they will actually analyze the sunlight that hits the roof of the house and then compare the various finance options and tell you whether or not it could make sense for you. I'd start there. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Many call this week Easter week, that time when we remember the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross. And from the Old Testament, there's a parallel with the Jewish Passover. I'm Charles Morris. Join me with David Wolin for Haven Today this week and a series called Jesus and the Feasts of Israel.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Have you downloaded the Faith by app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the Faith by app?
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. You know, talking about solar panels, I mean, the payback period is really what you're looking for there. And it's the break-even point on those solar panels. So you divide your initial cost by your annual savings that you'd experience on your utility bill. For a lot of households, that could be as much as 13 years before you're kind of in the money, so to speak. And a lot of it depends on how much are you paying up front. Are you financing that cost? Yes, there are some tax breaks you can often get. But how much sunlight does your roof get? And that's where using this tool, Project Sunroof, can analyze for you at no cost your solar analysis. You can put in your electric bill to fine-tune your savings estimate and then figure out, you know, with the cost of the financing, if you are going to be borrowing, whether or not it makes sense. And so it's certainly something to look at. I find oftentimes that, you know, you got to be in this for the long haul and before you're ever going to see any kind of benefit in that. But, you know, your situation may be different and there's just so many factors there. It's certainly worth looking at. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment today, we're taking your calls and questions. We'd love to hear what you have on your mind and your financial life today. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Montana, beautiful Montana. Linda, go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, we want to put money in the existing 529 plan that our son has. Do I get a tax break from it, or when do we have to give it to them for them to get the tax break?
Yeah. So, you know, the person making the contribution would be the one that would receive the tax break. Now, keep in mind, there is no federal deduction for a 529 college savings plan contribution. So the only potential tax break would be based on your individual state. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay.
My daughter-in-law just said that we can't get a tax break. They would get it if we gave the money to them and they put it in.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of setting up a whole new 529.
Right. And that's true. So you would have to establish another 529 that you were the owner of and that you would be contributing to. And then you could, you know, get that that state income tax benefit if one is available. States aren't required to offer that tax deduction, but some of them do, and many of them do. But you would have to open one. In terms of who gets the best, you know, or most benefit, it would be the person in the highest tax bracket would get the, you know, the most benefit from making the contribution. And you can have multiple 529s. And so if that was something you all wanted to be able to get the benefit from for your state, you could, you know, open your own, make the child the beneficiary, but you would be the one getting that advantage. A great tool, Linda, to explore all of this is a website called savingforcollege.com. It's my favorite website for this, you know, whole category of college savings. And they'll actually help you with a free tutorial there, you know, go through and look at evaluating the potential tax savings alongside the performance of that particular state's 529 and to help you determine, does it make sense to stay in your state or to go to another state's 529? Because even though you may be giving up state income tax deductions, the performance may be lackluster, and the greater performance in another state's plan, historically speaking, you know, may outweigh the potential tax benefits. And so that's at least something for you to consider. But at the end of the day, it would be the person that owns the account that would get that deduction.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a
good
day.
Welcome.
And a happy Easter to all of you.
Well, happy Holy Week and happy Easter. Absolutely. He is risen, and we're delighted that you're on the program. You sound like a wonderful grandmother, Linda. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open and maybe room for one more question today on anything financial. Let's go to Sue in Missouri. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. Good morning.
Hi.
Just had a question. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just had a tax question for this year's taxes that we're doing. We had a house for 10 years. We purchased for $330,000. We sold it last year for $685,000. We purchased a new house this last year, right after. I mean, we basically closed the same day, but we sold our original house. Bought a new construction house for $600, and we used the profit, the difference, to put into the new house. So we basically paid, you know, cash from our profit towards fixing up the new construction.
Yes.
So just wanted to know what our tax, you know, as far as how we do our taxes on that.
Sure. Yeah. Let's walk through that for a second. So the home that you bought for, or that you sold for $685 was the previous home, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you said you bought that for $330 and that was your primary residence. Is that right?
Yes.
And that was for 2 out of the 5 years before that you sold it, before the day you sold it?
We owned it 10 years total.
Okay.
We lived there
10
years.
Okay. So, and are you married filing jointly on your taxes?
Yes.
Okay. So you get, because it was your primary residence, because you lived there 2 out of the 5 years prior to the sale as your primary residence at a minimum, and because you're married filing jointly, you get $500,000 in gains that are excluded from capital gains tax. So, you know, you had, let's call it three, assuming you didn't put any money into it and not even factoring in the expenses, you had a profit of about $350,000, which is below the $500,000 that you have excluded from capital gains. So you don't have any capital gains on that. And then you can take that money and do whatever you want with it, put it in the bank, invest it, buy another house. You chose to buy another home. That's fine. That has no bearing on this. So there is no tax for due on that prior home sale, and now you're into your next home and, you know, off to the races.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we do our taxes, I mean, we don't really have any complicated taxes. I mean, it's basically just our income, W-2s, and, you know, we don't have a business or anything like that. So when we go to do our taxes, do we have to reveal, you know, as far as the selling of the homes, the purchasing of the other and all that, or can we just do our taxes straight like we, you know, normally have with our W-2s and all that?
Yes. So, yeah, you absolutely would be entitled to that. The mm-hmm. question is, and what do you use, like a software package or something like that?
Yeah. That's what we've done before because it's just pretty simple. I mean, we don't really have anything, you know, and no other income besides just our jobs, you know, and all that. So.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So in terms of that, on your tax return, the gains are reported there on a mm-hmm. form. It's a Schedule D of your tax return. And then there'll be a separate form, 8949. And, you know, that would allow you to essentially report it, but also take advantage of the exemption because it was your primary residence. So, you know, it'll show up there on Schedule D, but then the software package should ask you, you know, whether that was your primary residence and then bring in the appropriate form so that you can take advantage of that exclusion.
Okay, so just look for that on the app or on the program that we use, the Schedule
That's
D.
Exactly right. And if you have some confusion about that, what you may want to do is, you know, use this as the year where you do get some professional help. Just because anytime you have mm-hmm. something unusual, it's not a bad idea just to make sure there's no questions and you're, you know, filing everything properly, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate your help. Thank you so much for your advice and your information.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. Quickly to North Carolina, Bill, I've got just about a minute and a half left. How can I help?
Rob, thanks very much and good morning to you. I was telling you, a good producer, my next birthday is going to be 71. It was kind of a shocker. It seems like 50 years prior went by in a flash. And
yeah.
With that in mind, I've been taking some income monthly on the IRA side of things. And it was based on high dividend stocks. And they're like the little girl with the golden curls. When they're good, they're good. When they're bad, we're bad. When they're bad, they're bad. And it was kind of spooking me a little bit with that being the case in case something goes kaplooey in the world and things go south. But I was asking a local advisor along the coast here, and he said I might want to look into one of these, something called a GMIC annuity that pays 7%. And annuities always gave me the heebie-jeebies, Rob. I just always ran for cover when I heard the term. And I'm wondering if I'm being a little too scared or a little too gun-shy or if it's something I should look into. The word just always instinctively gave me the heebie-jeebies. I just never had any understanding of the things. And it's just out of my league. I just don't seem to have the...
I kind of take the same approach, Bill, you know, in terms of thinking about annuities. I mean, do they have a place for some people? Sure. You know, they're not all bad. But I think for the reasons you mentioned, they're complicated. There's a lot of fine print. You know, you've got fees and expenses. You're tying up your money. So why would you do all that? Well, people do it because they want the peace of mind to know that they're transferring that market risk away from themselves over to an insurance company in exchange for a guaranteed return. And if that's something that gives you peace of mind, then you need to really do your homework to make sure you're getting the annuity you want, because you're giving up control of that money. You're losing partial access to it, at least for a period of time. And then what happens when you die? Is it all gone or does it get transferred, you know, to a beneficiary? You know, and they're not all created equal, and you've got to determine a lot of that on the front end. So my preference would be, even at 71, take a long-term view. Let's say the Lord tarries and you're in good health. We need this money to last maybe to age 100. That's almost 30 years from now. So regardless of what the market does, you can weather that. And by using an advisor outside of an insurance product, you got full access to the money if you need it for long-term care or whatever God may lead you to do. Yeah, you're taking some risk, but it's still my preferred approach. That's just my thought. Appreciate your call today, and hopefully that can help you overcome your heebie-jeebies. God bless you, my friend. Thanks to my team today, Devin, Robert, and Taylor. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Certainly grateful for you tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.